Good morning. Good morning, online church. We're so glad you're with us as well this morning. And we really like it when you chat with us. You're the only people that are allowed to speak out loud in during the service. And you can do that in the chat. That was funny. What a great time during worship. Just sensing the very real presence of God. And as we were singing, and Chelsea was singing, Lord, you are the medicine. I just felt like the Lord dropped in my heart that he wanted to heal this morning, specifically TMJ. I had to look that up. That's a joint in the jaw, and there are about 30 disorders related with that. Is there anybody in the room that suffers from, okay, anyone else? Okay. Oh, number of people. We're going to pray. I believe that God reveals so that he can heal. And please let us know when the Lord does these kinds of things. It's always fun to hear the stories after. Sometimes I go, man, people are just leaving me hanging up here. And then we do hear the exciting reports. But we really do believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And also tinnitus. Is that the right way to say it? No, not that. But ringing in the ears. Is anybody suffering from that? All right, okay. Anybody online as well? Just we're going to pray, and I just believe there's going to be healing released right now. So as we pray, you just receive it. It's Jesus. I mean, any condition in your body right now, any condition, you can be healed. By his stripes, we're already healed. So you hold a receipt. My healing's been paid for in full. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, and sickness is a work of the enemy, so we're just going to stand on that right now. But specifically, God will do this. We're just to raise faith in the room my condition, God wants to touch it, especially in some of those things if you've just had enduring and you're kind of putting up with it. Can I just say this morning before I pray, don't put up with it anymore. God wants to heal you. So, Lord, we thank you right now that you do reveal these things so that faith just kind of rises up in our heart. And Lord, I pray for this condition of the jaw that causes pain and so many difficulties. Lord, that right now by your Holy Spirit, you're releasing that healing. The Bible says that you send your word and they are healed. Father, online right now, somebody is just getting a touch in their body. And I thank you for that right now. In the room, it's happening. Lord, ringing in the ear, stopping right now, just that annoying, difficult, almost tormenting. And I just speak against spirits of infirmity right now that would come to torment God's people. And Lord, let there be a healing in that area today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. And if you are experiencing relief, please let us know so that we can celebrate that with you. What to do at a place of encounter. I want to piggyback off of the word that Lewis encouraged us with last week, the four places of guaranteed encounter with God: worship, word, sharing our faith, and in his loving embrace. And today I do want to talk about what should we do when we're in that place of encounter. I'm going to read a scripture of the burning bush when Moses has an encounter with God. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And then the Lord saw that he had gone over to have a look. And God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Father, thank you this morning as you're already moving. You're already, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're manifesting yourself in the lives of so many right now. But in the word now, we ask, in this guaranteed place of encounter of going to your word, Father, speak to many hearts right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Christine and I have learned over the years, 42 in, right? 42? 41? 41 in August, and getting ahead of myself. And we've learned to be intentional with our time together, our own places of encounter. And we actually have and have put in and guard very carefully, we have a daily rhythm. We start our day together, sitting on the couch, drinking coffee, watching the news. And we have a rule. There are no phones allowed between 7 and 7:20 a.m. during the time slot of sipping coffee and watching Ottawa news. There's not always, in fact, I was going to say discussion or conversation. In fact, there is seldom conversation or talking because it's just amazing to be together. Say, be together. I want to just form a balance here this morning, talk about being with God. And it's not about doing, because I'm talking about what do you do in the place of encounter. I just want to pull the tension and the balance of this is that we're not always supposed to be doing. We want to first of all be being. We're human beings with God. It's relational. And it's amazing when you can be with someone that you love and you can encounter them just simply by being with them. At the end of the workday, I make supper. That's my job. And Christina comes home and we eat together. And then she catches me up on her day. I catch her up on mine. And she cleans up dinner. That's the bargain. I prepare it and she cleans it up. And I pull up a stool in the kitchen and the catch up continues. Daily rhythms of encounter. Of course, we also have weekly rhythms of encounter and yearly. And we're committed to show up in that place of encounter, that we don't take that for granted. We're not just somewhere else, especially me, because my tendency would be my brain wants to go. My body's here, but my brain wants to go places and to show up for each other. And our encounters with God are similar because they're relationally based. My place of guaranteed encounter each morning with the Lord is on the same couch before Christina gets up. I get up before she does, and I have my first cup of coffee with Jesus. I call it Java with Jesus. And so sometimes I don't pray. I just sit, and I just listen. And often he doesn't say anything, but I know that he's there. And there's something about simply being, showing up for the place of encounter. And I do my best to do that. I do my very best to show up because I've learned, number one, what do we do when it comes to these guaranteed places of encounter with God? Number one, intentionally and consistently show up. Intentionally, consistently show up. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And it's interesting that Horeb, the mountain of God, is a name given to that mountain, the meeting place with God. That was a name given to the mountain long after. This is a name as it's being written that while Moses was showing up with the flock, it wasn't called the mountain of God. It was called the mountain of God years and years later because Moses established it as the mountain of God. His consistent and intentional showing up caused it to be the meeting place or the mountain of God. When we're intentional about showing up in consistency and intentionality, something happens. You see, Moses had showed up. This wasn't his first morning. This is not his first rodeo heading to the mountain of God. He'd been doing it for 40 years. For 40 years. And I don't know, maybe you're here this morning and just having that intentionality in your time with the Lord and those guaranteed encounters here at church and worship or at home in the Word, your prayer time, that sometimes it just may feel like it's getting mundane. Like maybe something's really not taking place. And I want to encourage you that in intentionality and in consistency, you will learn in the long haul that God knows where you are. You're establishing a mountain place. You're establishing a meeting place with God, and he called it Horeb, the meeting place, because of his consistency. What if Moses didn't have intentionality? There wouldn't be a Horeb. There wouldn't have been a place for him to encounter the burning bush. Do you have a Horeb? Do you have a place that you consistently go where you're showing up? You show up and maybe nothing happens. Or as we're going to see, maybe everything happens. But you're being true to showing up to be with the Lord. I want to encourage you with that today. Well, when he does that, the angel of the Lord, we call this a theophany, an appearance of Jesus before his incarnation. The angel of the Lord, the voice of Jesus, a beautiful picture of the three in one, the one in three we're talking about in basic doctrine over the last couple of weeks on Wednesday nights. And hard for us to get our heads around that. If we could, we'd be God. But just the mystery of God, the Trinity, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. Number two, when you are showing up intentionally, like this morning, here we are. And I want to encourage you that if coming every Sunday is not your habit, is not your intentionality, that you would really consider making that an every Sunday event in your life. I love that you come and some come, you know, once a month and a couple times a month. But those of us that have made this our weekly rhythm, as we are taught in the scriptures, that there's something powerful that takes place in that, that will allow you as you gather to experience God in a deeper way, in a more profound and powerful way. If you're online and you live at distance, we love that you're at distance and a part of Harvest. But if you're in the area, I want to invite you to think about moving from your spot in your home to the consistent meeting place in the house of God. And like this morning, as we gather here, and we're in the guaranteed place of his presence in worship. And number two, look for the fire. Look for the fire. I'm not going to take a lot of time to explain this, but fire, if you just think about it, it has warmth. You know the fire's there. It has movement. Fire throughout the Bible is the outward, felt, sensed manifestation of God's presence. The God is always with us. God's always, he'll never leave us or forsake us. And by faith, we know that God is always ever present with us. But in those moments of guaranteed encounter, as like this morning as we're in worship, where you begin to have, your spirit begins to sense almost as if God pulls the veil between his realm and our realm and the natural realm and the spiritual realm. And John the apostle in Revelation, it says he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, simply meaning he was looking for fire. He was looking for the activity of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you doing today? Here we are gathered in this place. Holy Spirit, what are you going to do? It's exciting. We come with anticipation. And John was in the spirit looking for fire on the Lord's day. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, come up here. And he had an amazing vision and experience of what worship's like in heaven. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 5. Look for the fire. Never come to a place of encounter with God without looking for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you doing today? What are you working in my life? Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn. He was looking for fire. He found the fire. It says he turned aside. Say, turn aside. Sometimes we're really quick to kind of move on when we discover that manifestation. It's the reason why on some songs that the worship team will just kind of linger. And oftentimes, our praise, it kind of crescendos and we can sense God's presence is powerful. The band stops only to facilitate our, just out of our heart, something spontaneous to rise up. And oftentimes we get a little nervous about that and then we move on. We're like waiting for the next song. Can I encourage you, whether here or at home or in your car, and when you look for the fire, you turn aside. In other words, he left the flock. He left what he was doing. He left the natural. He left what was happening in that moment, and he leaned in and focused on what was going on in that manifestation. He's like, I'm getting everything I can out of this. I want Holy Spirit, as I surrender my life right now, to touch me in a profound way. And all the people of the Spirit said, Yeah, come on. More working and fire manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That happens when more people turn aside and say, God, we are lingering or old school or waiting. One of the shortest but most powerful prayers in the New Testament, come Holy Spirit. Our seeds group that is overseen by Lene and Murray Bamber, and we love them and we love that group, and that group gathers for 12 weeks, people that are new to the things of the Lord. And this weekend, Friday evening, was their finale meeting, and they have an encounter with Holy Spirit, and they get them set up for that, and then that prayer, come Holy Spirit. And for many people, that's their first encounter with the fire, with the working of the Holy Spirit. You got to be willing to turn aside. Number three, be willing to turn aside and wait in the presence of God. Don't rush it. And it says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, you know that God is, as God sits on the couch with you, and he's waiting to see what you're going to do in his presence. He's waiting to see if you'll turn aside, if you will come in closer. James said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And it's not an earning thing or a conditional thing. It's God's just saying, will you relish my presence? Will you hold my presence precious? And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, he called him from the midst of the bush. Moses, number four, when you come into the guaranteed places of encounter with God, can I remind you that he knows your name? He knows your name. You're not just another person. You're not just somebody who's asking God for marching orders to do something for God. Although that's, as we're going to see, that's powerful. And we serve God. That's powerful. But it begins with being. What do we do in the presence of God? What we do is remember that he knows my name. I've shared this story in messages before that I'm going to share. If you've heard it, you get to hear it again. And if you haven't, I hope this blesses you. But I was in a conference a number of years ago. I went down into the United States to take part in a conference, and I'd heard that one of the keynote speakers, who was an established prophetic ministry in the body of Christ all over the world, was speaking there, and that I had heard that he'd been in another meeting and talked about an experience that he'd had with the Holy Spirit, and that God was wanting specifically to send fire, manifestation of presence. It's the way he saw it. He said, way up at the top of New York State, way up in upstate New York, right where upstate New York touches Canada. Wow. Well, there's only so much boundary and line of where that takes place. And of course, that's right where we live. And so I wanted to hear more about that. I was hoping he would explain more about what God was saying. And so I went down, and on the final evening, he was the keynote speaker, and he began. I had my pad and pencil out. I couldn't wait to copy down what he was going to say. And he said, the Lord's given me a word about a fire. And he said, before I share it, he said, I want to give a sign that this is of the Lord. And he said, God has given me about 1,000 people, I think, in the room. He said, if you're from upstate New York or any of that area, would you come forward? And about 20 of us came forward and stood. He was on the platform a little bit lower than this one. It was in a hotel conference center. And he said, if I say your name, just wave your hand, and I just want, you know, I'll have a word for you. And so he three, four people's names, first name, and then it was profound. It was one of these the clearest word of knowledge gifts I had experienced in person. I'd heard about God moving this way, but to actually experience it. And then he said, Roy, there's a Roy. Moses, got it to say it twice. Well, this gentleman had to say it way more than, because I froze. I was like shocked. I was like I heard he's saying my name. And I tried to get my hand up, but it wouldn't go. And so he said, he's looking around. I go, Roy, is Roy here? I said, I see a Chris at your side. I see Chris at your side. Where's Roy? The Lord shows me you're here at the conference alone. But I was there alone on a personal retreat, and I finally got my hand up. And then he said, oh, that's amazing. And he gave me a couple of other things that only God could have known. And then he went on to the next person. And then he explained in his message this move of God and this region that God wanted to do that is really even in the foundations of the planting of this house. It's a powerful thing. I share the story because I was ramped about the doing part. I was ramped up and jazzed about God's going to move in our region. It's going to be powerful. It's like fire. It's going to be amazing. And that was a full day later. I went back. The conference had finished. I went back to my hotel room. I was flying out the next morning. I'm sitting down in the bed in my hotel room, and the presence of God beautifully came into the room. And the thought washed over me. It makes me emotional every time I think about it. God, you know my name. You know my name. In other words, God is concerned about every detail of your life, not just all of what he's doing on planet Earth. See, God turns aside as well, and he turns toward you. And our relationship with God is not just functional, but it's also personal. Look at this verse from Isaiah, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you?" Say, he created me. Try it again. "Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God. You are precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you." Isn't that great this morning? God knows your name. As you come into that place, what do? Remember that God intimately knows you and loves you. You are fully known and fully loved. Then he said, "Take off your sandals off your feet, for this place that you stand is holy." And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Number 5, never lose your reverence and wonder for God. There are times where that fire comes in pronounced ways and services like this, and maybe you're new and you wonder why there's Kleenex boxes under seats. And oftentimes, just when God's presence comes and we're being vulnerable in the presence of God, emotion will be the result. And many, many Sundays, I myself begin just to weep before the Lord, because I never get tired of his awesomeness, the wonder and the reverence. We don't fear him as being afraid. We're leaning in. We love him. He loves us. But we never take for granted he is the all-powerful God. And Moses understood. And if you've been in a moment of pronounced manifestation, the fire is there. The voice of God is there. I describe it this way. I am overwhelmed with presence. The prophet Isaiah had an experience in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." He said, "Woe is me, I'm undone." And I feel that way sometimes in God's presence. I'm just undone. Life seems to reset when you see the majesty and the greatness of God. Psalmist David said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you set in place, who am I that you even think about me?" Never lose the reverence and wonder for God. Then Moses said to God, Moses said, indeed, "When I go," and he was on task and on assignment, "when I go and do that, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. They'll say to me, 'What's his name?' What shall I say?" This was Moses' passive aggressive way with God of asking, "So what's your name?" They're going to ask. Not that I need to know or anything, but they're going to ask. So let's just skip the step. "God, what should I say if they ask me your name?" And God says, "I am who I am," which is a very famous scripture of it's spoken in the tense of God just says, "I am. I was, I am, I will be, I am the great God. I can't even put into a name how," you know, and so he's just, it kind of thundered, "I am." I'm sure that was part where he hit again. And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Number 6, when you're in a guaranteed place and you're experiencing God, ask him his name. You say, well, what do you mean by that? It's Jesus or Holy Spirit, God the Father, and sometimes I'm not sure who to pray to. And it's okay, you can pray to all three, you can pray to one. It's really whatever we're kind of, wherever we're sensing and feeling in that moment. It's okay, it's good. What do I mean then? Ask God his name. All throughout the Old Testament, when God would reveal himself to people, the men and women of the Old Testament, they would give God a name or a title based on the revelation of a facet of who he is that they learned in that moment. And I want you just to get used to doing that. God, what's being revealed? And so there's a number of them. I'll just go through them. They're not in your notes, but you can Google the Jehovah names of God. And one of them is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord, my provider. And you might be in prayer and you're just looking for finances. I know there's some prayer requests and there's some really, really pressing needs that God has that people are facing right now. And so you're in prayer and you sense God and the weight of glory. And he says, I know you by name. I know everything. And he says, you know, and you say, God, what is your name? My name is Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. I will provide for you. I will make sure that you have bread and you have everything that you need of. And who are you? I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm the one that provides. The Bible says, I've never seen God's people forsaken or their seed, their progeny, their offspring, their children begging for bread. Why? He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Rapha. The Lord's my healer. As you come before the Lord and God might, like today, say, hey, that TMJ, if it doesn't bother you, well, it bothers me. I want to heal it. And that's all. We experienced a word of knowledge today, and he was healing someone today. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. This is a great one. When the children of Israel would go into battle and just kind of warfare of this age. I don't know if you saw the Kevin Costner movie, The Patriot. How many would be familiar with that movie, Kevin Costner, The Patriot? Four people? What did I say? Should have been Kevin Costner. Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson, The Patriot. Now we are on the same. Oh, okay. And so they're in the movie and they keep retreating. So he grabs the American flag. It's a very moving scene. And he's going, hold, hold. And they want to run. And he's saying, don't hold your position. And that banner, the American flag, is declaring victory. It's declaring to, first of all, the people who are fighting, but also declaring to the enemy. And so in the Old Testament, they had banners and they would do the exact same thing. They would fly their flag. Jehovah Nissi is God. He's my banner. And you might be in warfare today and you're saying, God, can you reveal what is your name? And God goes, my name is Jehovah Nissi, and I want you to proclaim my name over your family like we did singing this morning. I want you to proclaim my name because there's going to be a victory. Hold! And hope gets placed in your heart because he's Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Raha, the Lord our shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord is my righteousness. You're going to wake up some mornings, you're going to feel like, I've blown it. How could God ever even want me in his presence? I don't know. And you need to remember that it's never about your righteousness. It's his righteousness given to you. You wear a robe of righteousness. He gave it to you. You are righteous before the Lord. The Lord, my righteousness, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. I remember years ago, I didn't ask Ryan's permission to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. As a young man, a young adult, in his late teens, he came to me one day and he was weeping. He said, I'm just having trouble. I'm just having trouble sensing God's presence. It's been weeks and he was worried. Some tears filled up in his eyes and I could feel, I knew what God was doing in his life. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. I said, you are accustomed to God showing up a certain way. But God's called you to be a great man of God, and you're going to have to learn how to discern his presence in many, many circumstances. God wants you to learn a new way to sense him. Describe to me how you know when you're looking for the fire, what is it? What does it look like? And he described it. Well, it was about a month of agony in his life. I'll never forget when he said, I understand. And God began to open up because God shows up in so many different ways. Why? He's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. And we begin to learn to hear the whisper of our God. One more this morning. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. He's telling Moses, you go and do what we're going to do. And he's still standing by the fire and he's still in this moment. He says, I will give this people favor. Say favor. God wants to give you favor this morning. Wants to give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. Today, God doesn't want you to leave this place empty-handed. He wants you to go with his favor. When you leave the place of guaranteed encounter with God. Number seven, don't leave the encounter without knowing that the miracle and the blessing that God has for you, he's sending you out with it. It's yours today. In fact, God said, this will be a sign. This will be a sign. So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this will be a sign to you, a prophetic. God just saying, this is how you'll know that I'm doing what I'm doing. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on the spot you are standing. Somebody, you're standing in the place and you're wondering, does prayer really change anything? Does encountering God's presence change anything? And I'm here to tell you this morning that God is saying, don't leave my presence today without knowing that I'll send you out with a prophetic sign. You'll know that you'll know that I'm sending you out with my favor and miracle in hand. And it will manifest. It will happen in the timing of God, God's perfect timing. God said, I'll bring you back to this place. And you're going to remember my faithfulness. You're going to remember I promised you. You're going to remember that I called you by name. You're going to remember. If you want to get to the place of destination, you've got to be in the place of his presence. With every head bowed and eye closed this morning, just before we dismiss our service, oh, Jesus, I can sense the fire. Can I have the ministry team come forward? Get in place and get ready. God wants to speak to some people today. And as you're praying over people, ministry team, just release that word of knowledge and gifts of prophecy today. Gifts of healing. So many beautiful spiritual gifts. The ministry team is ready to give to you today. The gifts aren't for the person praying. They're for the person receiving. Gift from God today for you. If you need a touch in your physical body, and when we begin singing, you just come out of your seat. Maybe it's been a while since you've had an encounter with God. Something is spoken into your heart today. Don't leave the fire today. Turn aside. Just a couple of moments here receiving prayer can solidify what God wants to say and do in your life. So often in my own life, God's been speaking and pressing, and I don't turn aside. I just go ahead and go on with, well, it's time to leave the service now. No, it's not. If you're sensing fire burning inside you right now, you want to come up and get prayer. God wants to establish something. He wants to see you turn aside. So he can call your name today. We'll stay as long as it takes to pray for every person. If you're in the room today and you've never given your life to Jesus, the first time you will hear your name being called, not audibly, but inside. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of every man, every woman, every child's heart. Just describing that inner place of who we are, kind of where your thoughts happen inside. He stands at your door and he knocks and he says, if any man, and he'll call you by name. You'll hear him call you. He called so many people throughout the Bible. And the majority of people in this room have heard him and they've responded yes. If that's you today and you'd like to respond yes to receiving Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, I wonder right where you're sitting with every head bowed, every eye closed right now, you would just slip your hand up, say, Pastor, include me in a prayer to receive Jesus today. That's me, Pastor. I want to receive him. Is there anyone in the room today? I'll just wait a moment. If you're online today and you want to receive the Lord, just text in, I'm receiving him today. I'd like us all to just pray this simple prayer. I just never want to get out of, ever move on for how precious this moment is. And perhaps someone hasn't responded with their hand, but in their heart they want to. Pray this simple prayer with us today. Dear Jesus, I need a Savior. I am a sinner, separated from you. But today is my day of salvation. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. I receive being born again. I love you, Jesus. I receive that new life. Thank you. Amen. Hey, we believe if you prayed that prayer for the first time in your heart or online, yeah, come on, you're born again. Would you just take the card that is in your notes today? In your notes is a card, and it says, I made a decision for Jesus. Check that off and give it to someone in a black shirt today. Hey, let's stand today. We're going to dismiss in just a moment.
This morning, I just want to remind you that next Sunday is Mother's Day, and we'll have specialty coffees for all our mothers. So, you know what? Make sure you get that. And we just want to celebrate mothers next week on Mother's Day. Such an amazing time for those moms that will be here. Father, we just thank you for this service this morning. God, I just thank you that, Father, you just show up. God, you just speak to us. Father, you're just so gentle, and Lord, you just show up in such a mighty way. I just pray a blessing over each person, God, this morning. As we leave this building, Father, you will just put a hedge of protection around each and every person, God, their families, their children, and God, health, and bring us back safely next week. In your name we pray, amen. Be blessed, Harvest. We'll see you back here next week. We love you.